All right, guys, welcome back to a really special edition of Beyond the Barbell. I'm sitting here at a really, really nice, quaint little apartment tucked away in the jungle of Kauai with Aaron Hoff and Rory Zambard. You guys, thanks for joining us, being on the show.
Happy to be here, Ben.
Yeah, happy to be here, Ben.
Cool. Well, we're all here. There's quite a few athletes running around, games athletes, recognizable athletes. What are we all here for?
We're basically here to raise money so we can impact the kids on the island of Kauai in a way that's never been possible.
And it's all happening through the Ultimate Hawaiian Trail Run this weekend.
Nice. Ultimate Hawaiian Trail Run is this weekend. But before we talk into some of the details of the trail run, I want to talk to Aaron. I know Aaron has kind of made it clear he's almost a man of few words, but he's got a really big heart. And so I think, Aaron, that's one thing that from being around you for the last few years I've got to kind of see about you is that you don't always talk, but when you talk, people listen, I think, because they know how much you care. And they see that you always kind of put yourself down in the trenches, if you will, and you get the – You're part of every single layer of things that are happening. So, like I said, I think people respect you and you have this big heart. Where does that come from? What's your story? Who is Aaron Hoff?
Well, Aaron Hoff is, I was actually born and raised on the island of Kauai. I'm an island boy and, just growing up over here, I came from a good household. My parents were good people, and I was raised up a local boy, and basically being raised over here, majority of us, our options growing up, we have sports and stuff like that, but there's not a big draw to it. We have more of a surfing lifestyle, diving, beach style living over here, and what comes is that is that lifestyle, we're drawn to the ocean and the beach, and down there, the environment is very dangerous for kids growing up because there's a lot of drinking, alcohol, drugs, and everything circulating around that environment. And most kids are prone to getting sucked into that, the lifestyle of just cruising and basically partying. It's an epidemic over here. I think Hawaii is one of the highest suicide rates in the nation, the last time I looked. And it's... people come here and they're on vacation and they look around. They're like, oh, this island, that really, when I talk to people, they're like, that really happens here? They don't even, there's like, no, nobody really sees what's going on over here, like how I've seen it, because I was basically raised on the island. And, growing up, I got sucked into the whole spin out of just drinking, partying, and got eventually, just like it does, everything escalates. There's cocaine around, there's meth shows up, and the next thing you're doing everything in the woodworks just to fit into the group that this island, breeds, basically. It's that's type of, and it's not right, but it's normal because everybody's doing it. It's pretty sad. And I was fortunate to, at 22 years old, I was strung out on meth, and it just spit me out. It was either basically, I was suicidal, I tried to kill myself like three times, and somehow I ended up in a treatment center, had people looking to kill me, cops looking for me. It was just a situation where it's like, you push so in a corner that you don't see any way out. So you're just like, the easiest way out is to just take your life. And that was my solution. I tried, but I didn't pull it off and fell in a treatment center in Honolulu, and then... one night, Christmas Eve, I was in a cot in the fetal position, just crying and snot out of my nose, and I just was like, basically, God, if you're real, you need to come now because I'm going to basically come and see you.
That's pretty heavy.
It was real. And then that moment was just like, this peace came over me like I've never felt in my life, and just washed everything away, and this voice just said, you're going to be okay. And what happened at that moment, I wasn't really, to me, it's, I don't push anything on anybody. It's just, this is, I just speak my experience and what happened to me. And I express that out to people. And it was, you know, it was God basically just gave me another shot at life. He said, and I actually, for once in my life, looked at myself and knew I could get out of this. I knew there was a way out. And I could never see that before. So then I worked this 12-step program. I've been there and basically really worked on my life and in this treatment center and came out, moved to the Big Island, went over to that for a couple years, and then came back to Kauai. And then after that was basically working with people. As soon as I got back here, I paid everybody back. Made all the amends to people that was required to get my life back. And it took me 5 years, 5 to 10 years to get out of debt. And I was working little jobs that pay nothing. But I just can't. But the whole time I did that, I was always working with people, reaching out, helping people, and never turning away calls, going 2 a.m, talking to people, and just, you know what I mean, just being there.
You mean people who are like hurting?
Strung out people.
Drugs,
because yeah. Everybody on this island knew me for who I was, and then all of a sudden I'm this guy that's just on fire, and they're wondering how in the hell did that, what's up with this guy? So they wanted what I have because everybody's here suffering, you know. And it's like, and I was free, and I was living a life totally free, and I was happy and just like on fire, you know. And things were happening in my life that were good, and this people are attracted to that. And I think that's, you know, and for me, it's been the hardest thing for me. The whole thing that inspired this whole run and everything is I got sick and tired of working with people who are strung out and always at the bottom. But for the past 18 years, I've been working out. The people that I've been able to help and be there for are strung out kids, strung out dads, strung out, you know, sisters, brother, everybody, just all messed up. And then for me, it was just, I knew there was a way, there's something there. I was looking for, to be able to get into people's lives before, to help kids and catch them before they end up taking that road and giving them an option. Like for me, I never had an option. Growing up here, there's not very much options. You just go, because our parents work, it's really expensive to live here. So you got to like hustle. So you're never home because, you know, with your parents. So you get all the free time in the world to get in trouble. You know, there's no guidance.
Idle time, right?
Idle time, no guidance. It's a bad mixture.
So how does the run then support that vision, right? Like you said, you don't want to treat people who are already sick, basically. You want to get to them before they kind of go down that road. Not saying that you don't help people that are...
It's kind of diverse. It actually, how this works is it actually helps people that are messed up because it gives them a place where they can come. It's a safe environment and they can actually start giving back and step out of that selfish life. And you can go in on the other end and you're helping these, being a part of these kids' lives, carrying them through a time that's the most dangerous times of their life. And they're just getting hunted down by this sickness that plagues this island, you know. And it's, most people don't see it, but I see it very vividly because I was born and raised here.
No, if you ask the average person who does not live here, who lives on the mainland, hey, tell me the 10 things that stand out to you about Hawaii, Kauai, any, not on a 99 people's list out of 100, is it going to be like meth and drugs and, you know what I mean? You're not going to get that. People just don't see that. They don't get that portrayed to them. You know, when we see Hawaii portrayed on shows or movies or whatever, it's like paradise. And right now where we're sitting, honestly, it's like paradise.
Yeah.
You know, but there's this, like you said, it seems like there's this plague kind of.
It's this beast that's just picking kids off.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, and it's but it's there. And it's like that everywhere. But here, it's for me, it's just, this is my home. This is where I grew up. And it's very, the relationships I have with these people are family that I grew up with. I know everybody here. And it's like I see families just get decimated. And to me, it's like, it destroys my heart. You know, to see this is just like, it just pains me. And then So I just do whatever I can to – I've been doing whatever I can. So basically, like, with the trail run, I've funded the thing for 2 years. I'm over $100,000-something in debt doing this. I haven't made a penny off this run, and it's just like – but it's – now it's like – I guess my paycheck is from this whole thing is watching these athletes come here, work out with the kids, pour back into the community, and then when they leave, you know, we have money – that we raise from this that can pay for a facility, and then to see how they've been affected by these people, and over the time that they spend there, even if it's over only for a week, the impact that these people have on these kids is massive. It's life changing. You know, it's like, and it's I wouldn't be doing this if it doesn't work. You know, I literally would not put my effort in. I don't put my effort into anything that doesn't work. And this works. And I watch kids have a choice now. Like I have a kid that's pretty much, you know, comes from, I have several kids that come from rough families and they're before they came, the first girl that we had that came in, she came in with hickeys on her neck and a train wreck of a family. And that was her path. That was the path I was on and all the other kids were on. It was just going to get worse. But she ended up coming into the CrossFit gym and she actually inspired me to do the run. And then she just grabbed hold of it because it's very addictive. And it's very, you know, and everybody there just loved on her. She wasn't getting the love at home that she was getting from us. And then that, she's, you know, that when you do that, that affects people. And they're drawn to that. And they're going to basically, kids are going to take any kind of attention they can get. And it's sad that families that have drugs and alcohol in them like that, it's negative attention, but that's okay. The kids want attention, so they'll take it. And then they'll act out and do bad stuff.
Can I ask, where is that girl now? How has she done since?
Well, she actually lives with me.
Okay.
I built her a room at my house, and she's doing great.
That's awesome.
She's like, you know, and then I have other kids like that. You know, it's like, you know, it's... I mean, she still struggles. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I think we all do, right?
Temptations are there, but she's developed an honest relationship with great people, and that to me, that's the key to anybody surviving, is to have transparency with another person so they can be helped. You know, and nowadays it's like everybody's so guarded and so surface that. They hold this sickness in, and it's they don't really get to experience the freedom of living, and it's so, like I've been able to experience being so honest and open, and it's and to see these kids grab hold of that and actually apply it in their life is like it's truly one of the that's my paycheck right there, because I watch this kid, I change this kid, I change generations. You know what I mean? What you change, and then that kid's going to affect, you know, it just branches out into a web that's like, that's indescribable. Well, it's powerful.
I mean, it seems like that the trail run then is something that you guys do one day out of 365, but it like, it manifests itself throughout the year, right?
Yeah,
like the funds and the awareness
It enables us to. Well, hopefully now that we can start raising money, like, it'll enable us to do so much more. Like, I mean, this program will happen whether or not we make money off of the run. But, you know what I mean? But this run is
Which is exactly why people should support it.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's actually truly something that's coming from your guys' heart, you know, which is
so
awesome.
I mean, I'll still fund it if I don't get the money. But in the long run, the goal is to get money so we can not... It'll expand outward because it works. You know, it's a program that works, and it's ran by people whose hearts are behind it.
Right.
And in a way that's like, it's you can't even explain it, but it's like the way it works.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, speaking of the people who you have now kind of behind it, you have sitting to your right a girl that's come on and seems like she's helped in quite a big way. And her name is Rory Zambard.
Hi, guys.
So, Rory, most people know you as a games athlete and or as a coach. Mm-hmm. But you have taken on in a really big way, it seems like, some of the organizational and other roles needed to make this run successful.
Yeah, I've definitely tried my best in the last since I moved here to be help to Hoff to make this program work and love on the kids the best I can and make the run successful.
Yeah, so what does that look like for you on more of like a day-to-day, you know, as we're kind of getting closer and closer to the run, right, which is in 2 days now, it's kind of getting to this crescendo point. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you making sure happens now at this point?
As we get closer to the run, it's more or less just making sure nothing catches on fire and that everything goes the way it's supposed to. All of the work's already been done.
But isn't it just like putting up a start line and then telling people 3, 2, 1, go, and then they run for like an hour and a half and then
Isn't
that all that you have to do in order to do a run?
Not even close. No, I wish. I'm a little offended, Ben,
okay,
actually.
All right. So
I know that it's a joke. There's so much that goes into making this run possible. It's unbelievable how many hands and how many bodies and how much thought and love and work goes into making this thing happen. It's more hands than will ever be recognized or be seen on the day of the event. It's way more than, you know, just the sponsors that arrive or the athletes that are here. There's an entire community of people that spend an entire year in preparation to make this occur because they love the kids and they want to see Hoff and they want to see this event work because they know the program works. So there's, you know, from the little day-to-day stuff of answering emails and coordinating sponsors and making sure people are where they need to be and when, to physically carrying chainsaws up a mountainside and cutting down trees to make sure nobody's poking their eye out while they're running. You know, that this is a run that happens through the jungle, literally in the jungle. It's, you know, not far from where they filmed Jurassic Park. So you guys are running in the middle of Jurassic Park.
Velociraptors
with
and
dinosaurs.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay, false advertisement. There's no dinosaurs.
No dinosaurs.
But it is through the jungle, and the jungle doesn't cut itself out of the way to make this trail. So there's the Garden Island Motorcycle Club, which Bertram is the guy who runs and heads that. And it's a motorcycle club on the island, and they go through and they've cut, you know, hundreds of miles of trail through this part of the land. And we are one of the very few people, Hoff is, that has access to this land outside of the motorcycle club. It's privately owned, which if you were to just come here on vacation, you wouldn't get the chance to see. You're not allowed on this property. But because of the relationships Hoff has and Bertram's connections, there's the ability to be able to make this run happen. But it takes so much work to be able to make the trail runnable. You know, it gets overgrown. It's amazingly lush here. It rains all the time. Like plants grow like weeds, so it takes a lot of work to make sure that the trail is actually established and ready to go. And then there's always the little hidden pieces of work that pop up out of nowhere that you have to deal with, and a lot of coordination and a lot of just labor.
Yeah, it's kind of it was kind of cool. I mean, yesterday we were putting together some, like, I don't know what you call those, goodie bags or whatever.
Oh, swag bags, yeah.
Swag bags, there you go. That was a cool term. Goodie bags that we get at a birthday party when you're like 10.
Yeah. The grab bags, you know, the mystery box of
right.
grab bags.
With like one sucker and like a little plastic ring that doesn't fit.
And some stickers,
yeah, that are often on the back seat of my parents' car before I'm even like to my house.
Uh-huh.
But these swag bags, they had like a lot of cool stuff in them, which is something we'll get to later. But like there was, I think, like 10 of us, 12 of us just kind of like volunteering to be
people,
there for like a couple hours and just shove stuff into bags to make sure that everybody's getting taken care of.
Yeah. I mean, and it's all those little things that you don't really think about until you have to run an event or behind the scenes on one to see all the little details that go into making an event actually manageable. Mm-hmm. Running around, making sure the banners are up, making sure that the swag bags are stuffed and that the tents are prepped and that mm-hmm. the tables are there and that we all have pens and clipboards and, you know, all of the little tiny details that make an event possible. And for those of you guys who are listening who have ran an event, you know exactly what we're talking about. It's challenging, and there's always 10 things you didn't see coming that show up at the last second.
Mm-hmm. So this run happens in 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've talked about stuffing swag bags, but you have this whole group, or maybe not even a whole group. There's a few, it seems like, partners that have kind of come alongside CrossFit Poipu, sponsors, mm-hmm. If I could call them that. But it seems like they come along in like this really big way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're like family pretty much. They're basically like all the people. Like,
say it one more time for those guys. I think your mic is a little far away.
They're like family.
Right.
It's like basically the sponsors that have come in have, they really don't ask for anything. They're just here to help, which is makes this event special. Mm-hmm. And it's also like when I really stand back and look at this event, the scope of volunteers that are coming out. I mean, there's a huge hula halal that I grew up with over here that is backing this. That they're not even in the light spotlight. I mean, there's countless people who've, you know, families I've worked with and that have their lives changed that are coming out to, that have been texting me on a regular basis. What time do I need to be there? What can we do? What can we do? I mean, a total like coming together of this community, you know, that's unseen. That's like, I just sit back and I'm just like, it's so surreal. How, you know, it's just aloha. It's basically, it's all aloha that comes to this event. And the sponsors don't ask for nothing. They're just basically, because they know this program works. I mean, the results are tangible.
Oh, man. They're basically high-fiving each other over here because Aaron used a word that had like three or even more syllables.
He said tangible. And he looked at me for approval.
Yeah.
It was a good word, Hoff.
He knows the word. He's not sure if he used it correctly.
He used it correctly. It was it was a tangible.
It was tangible.
It was a
very cool. So those sponsors you have, it's, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. You've got Reebok.
Yeah, we've got Progenics is a major one, Reebok, CrossFit, Kalo Ring, My Power Dot, RX Smart Gear, Mammoth Bars, Assault Air Bike.
He is greater than I.
He is greater than I.
And
NC Fit is a part of it as well. Lots of local companies.
Yeah.
Tons of people have just rallied in support of the program and what's going on here. CrossFit's also a part of what's happening.
I think that's really cool because I think right now, because the program works, it's still kind of in its infancy in a way, right? And
absolutely.
So it's really, really important that these companies kind of share your guys' vision so that more people get to know about this, because I think that's really important. You guys are stuck out here on an island, you know, to use a term, you know, and people won't know about it unless you guys are able to hitch yourself kind of to these bigger companies.
Totally.
Right? And then they have this big voice and then they're just shouting it from their social media platforms or from their athletes or whatever. And I think it's going to bring more and more awareness to it.
That's the hope. And Hoffy said it best in that it's a family, because what this is based upon isn't corporate sponsorships, though that plays a major role in supporting our kids and in making this event happen. But the seemingly corporate sponsorships are all based upon real relationships with the people who arrive here to help that are a part of each one of those companies.
Yeah, of those companies that we just listed about sponsors, I saw like four of their like main four or five of those companies. I saw like their main CEOs or
shoveling sandbags.
Yeah, like doing stuff, and then they were out there hanging out with the athletes and the normal, you know, average community member that decides to come and be a part of this. It's just, you know, it's nobody's pretentious here or anything. Everybody's here just to.
Yeah, what's nice about it is like all the business hats come off. You know what I mean? And real relationships are developed. It kind of just strips away all the personalities, it strips away all this, and it just gives that raw grassroots I mean, the best word I can describe it is aloha. It's basically people come here and experience an aloha that's so vital in life. And people crave that. And that's what they love about Kauai and Hawaii. That's why it's so special, because there's so much diverse races. And it's like a mixing pot of so many different types of people. And it just comes together. Like, you know, it's pretty remarkable to watch.
So in terms of this third year now. The first year, how many registered runners did you have in the first year, second year, and now this year?
There's like 300 the first year.
300 runners.
Yeah.
And I was one of them.
There was pretty, yeah.
I feel special.
Pretty much like 425 last year, and then this year.
At this point, we've got 475 registrants, and we're hoping for 300 more.
Wow.
And we also have 95 kids entered in the run.
Yeah.
So that's how much that means to these kids.
That's 95 kids who aren't going out and using meth, 95 kids that aren't going to go out. They're going to be a part of this
that
thing.
Just been looking forward to doing this run.
Yeah.
Which is, before, all, if you think about it, all we have to look forward to is going to the beach. The waves aren't always
lame.
Good. Diving. And, but no. But it, you know what I mean? It's like for me, I was born and raised at the beach. And if you're somewhere your whole life, it gets boring.
Right.
Doesn't matter where you are.
And you bring those other negative elements in to spice it up.
Bring a little smoke, some weed, drink a couple beers, and then start, you know? And
pretty
then it
soon,
just begins right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know.
Well, there's at least four more registrants I know on an airplane right now. My parents are coming over, and then my sister and her husband are coming over.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then I've actually got two people from my affiliate that are here, and then plus my wife and I. So there's like eight people represented by like Iron Mile and, you know, Alderman family, you know, which is cool.
Yeah,
like,
it's rad.
Yeah, because I remember being here the first year, just like you're talking about, experience that aloha feeling or whatever. I don't know how to use that term properly, like you with tangible. But people just don't know what it's like. And then I missed it last year and I was mad. Like, I felt like I really missed out on something.
Hey, you did.
Yeah, but I'm back. I'm back this year, right?
You're back this year, yeah.
So you guys are hoping for 700 runners.
Yeah.
700 plus 100 kids. You're at 800. You're pushing 1,000, right?
That's the goal.
That's the goal, right? So what's the future look like in terms of your guys' reach into the community? So twofold, your reach into the community, and then your expectancy for the runners, like coming up, like in 5 years, like how many runners do you want to be running this
thing? I would say, like, we're a nonprofit, and our goal is to just, like, hopefully it'll expand out to the other islands. And, you know, that's our goal. And
to run separate races on each island?
No, so if this event was to raise a lot of money, we have other friends that are doing stuff on the other islands that we would love to help them, that we know that we can trust, that are going to do the right thing with the money and to support it.
I think where we're at right now, our goal is to see 800 to 1,000 people attend the run this year. And it's a big goal, but it's totally manageable and it's totally doable. And I think in the future, we don't have a number set to how many people we want to attend, but we know the impact that we want to have. So however many people decide to show up, I don't think that will be too much of a deterrent on where we want to see this program grow. It's not just about affecting the south side of Kauai, but we want to spread to other parts of the island of Kauai and see programs on the west side and on the north shore and then over in Oahu. And we want to see it on the Big Island. We want to see it happen on Maui. And we want every island of Hawaii to be able to have the same kind of program and heart and relationship with kids that's going to change generations to come. And that's definitely supported primarily by the Ultimate Hawaiian Trail Run. But, you know, the sky is the limit. And we know that the CrossFit community and the community that's rallying to support these kids and this program is mighty, especially when it sticks together and it sees a cause that's worth supporting. And we know that it's being recognized and these kids are being seen. And that is one of the coolest things about it is it's going to grow and it's going to get huge because these kids are getting to be known.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to throw it out there because I got to see it firsthand last night. I got headbutted in the eye or elbowed in the eye or something.
He has a black eye right now.
I have
now.
A black eye currently as I'm sitting here. I have a black
from
eye.
From an 11-year-old.
Yeah, an 11-year-old. We were playing some super unlegit, if that's a word, unlegit game, but it was super fun.
It's an aggressive game. The kids here are unlike any kids you've ever experienced. They are gnarly, super rough, and they will fight and kill to win.
Yes, they will. They will. And I mean,
they'll smash your eye in with the back of their head.
Yeah. So I'm here at KCF, is that what it was? Kauai
Christian Fellowship.
And that's who you guys have kind of partnered with your second location.
I used the facility. I rented. I got a facility from them that they built a gym, and then I went over there and took over part of the part of it. And they have the hugest youth program, so I piggyback off of them. And they have vans and pick up all these kids and stuff like that. So I just slide right in there and just pick up all the kids.
And they're paying you a whole bunch of money to be there?
Absolutely no bunch of money. It basically takes a lot of my time, and so I make a lot of my money. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
But no, then my paychecks are real. You know what I mean? They're real seeing kids' lives turn around.
I think that's the one thing, too, that I wanted to point out was last night when I was there, I'm playing this game, and I was kind of getting sidetracked by my own personal harm that was done to me. But the reality was...
Meaning he couldn't see, and he was crying.
I couldn't see. But what would really happen was I was standing there next to somebody and somebody else on my right and my left. And to my left was Garrett Fisher, and to my right was Cara Webb. And there's a whole bunch of athletes that people in our CrossFit community would totally recognize who are seeing value in this event as well. I mean, you have everybody from...
Oh, yeah, they're having a blast.
You got like, Ben Smith here. Got Alex Smith. You got Dane. You got all three Smith brothers. Gary Helmick.
China Cho. China. Emily Bridger. Yeah. Like, Stacey Tovar.
And Bailey. And all,
yeah, there's a huge list of athletes, right, like, that we could just go through that are here. And they weren't here and like, oh, you know, it's time to go work with the kids. We're going to dip out and go to the beach, or we're going to go snorkeling. Like, it was dark.
Yeah, they haven't really been – they've actually been running. They come here and they just they go up in the trails. They help cut trails, put ribbons, do all – you know what I mean? Then we're down working with the kids, and then they're going over to the classes over here, coaching classes and just being a part of this. And it's hard work. I look at them and just like, gosh, dude, these guys just want to leave. Because I'm just running these guys to the ground.
Some of them didn't just look like it. They definitely verbalized it in the "I'm over it. This trail is really hard" kind of way.
Yeah, but then in reality, you know, then later at the end of the night, you know, I have Garrett Fisher in a bunk on an air mattress.
Oh, I saw it, dude.
Awesome. With a mosquito net.
With a mosquito net.
No, Garrett Fisher is staying in a barn, climbs up a ladder, threw a mosquito net onto an air mattress that my 8-year-old son would not want to sleep on.
By the time you wake up, he's sleeping on wood.
And he's sharing it with like 6 other dudes.
Who snore like chainsaws.
Yeah. I mean, like, the guys.
The shower's outside. It's a cold shower.
Right. I take a picture of him every morning. I wake up early to make sure I can take a picture of Garrett showering every morning.
There's no walls around it.
Yeah.
He's this.
I know. Garrett, why are you showering again?
We're turning him into ghetto Garrett.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, it's perfect.
We're toughing him up.
But it's just really cool. Like, all these athletes, like, they're doing those things that you're saying. And they don't have to.
They're doing it because they also love the kids.
Yeah. Like, I had to almost, like, twist your arm to say, hey, tell me what you need. You know? And sometimes you're just like, you want to do it yourself. And these guys are all just, we're all just kind of here to share the workload because we see what you're doing. You know what I mean? And, like I said, the other, and then I think what Chris Spieler taught your 4:30 class at CrossFit Poi Poo.
I mean,
his guest coaching fee's got to be exorbitant, right? Like, what was it? What'd you pay him? Like, $1,000?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Whoa.
He walked in.
Why do we keep coming back to this nothing number, right? Spieler, like, everybody's just giving.
Spieler walked in and I just says, "You're coaching this class, right?" And he was like, "I guess I am coaching this class." So
yeah,
he coached it.
And then the next class was taught by China,
and then,
right?
And then Chris Hinshaw taught this morning.
That's lame. I mean, that's
Matt
just,
Chan's gonna.
This is gonna cost you
so
much.
What a horrible experience.
Yeah.
Jason Kalipa's doing the 5:30, and it's gonna, you know,
tonight. So. Okay, I got somewhere to be at 5:30 then, right? We're all gonna go hang out. So
he's gonna be like,
you gotta pay him a lot though.
He's working for free.
Okay.
He's
all
working
right.
From. It's basically he's being paid with Aloha.
So, the one thing I also want to do is I want people to see, because I was talking to you about it. People are kind of focusing on the run because that's what's driving revenues to the program. Yeah. But what's really happening is like this huge community event that really lasts all week. So like next year, if you're planning on coming, 2 weeks, right?
Come early.
Yeah, come early and hang out and just walking down the beach, you're going to see these guys
Jason
learning how
Kalipa.
To surf. Surf or
Cole Sager on a surfboard.
Right. That's
or falling
awesome
off
too.
A surfboard.
Yeah. He was actually, I was surfing yesterday for my first time, and he's yelling at me tips from shore. He's like, hey, Ben, look this way. I'm like, I look over, and I just fall. And he's like, oh, well, the wave was kind of dying out over there, and you need to go over here. So if you look, I'm like, dude. I'm
so
like,
good.
I'm not there yet, you know? So it's like the blind leading the blind. It was pretty incredible.
That's pretty great.
But that's what I think people should see. That being said, this year, if somebody, because I'm going to post this tomorrow. It's Thursday right now as we're talking. I'm going to post this early tomorrow, right? Like Friday morning. Yeah. And the run is still
one day
Saturday,
away.
Right? So if somebody wants to hop on a plane.
Get here.
Right? And actually participate in the trail run, they need to go to HawaiianAirlines.com, right? And they need to find like a good rate and they need to book it. And then they need to get to the trail run. How do they register for the run? That late.
Online registration is closed, but you can register at the actual event.
What if
just
they, like,
show
fly
up.
Fly all the way here and then they get turned away.
There's no way.
There's no way. So anybody can do it?
Anybody can show up.
And they can
and
just
do the
run next to Jason Kalipa or
Absolutely.
Ben Smith or.
Any single person.
Or. Yeah, whatever. Trip them.
They can. You can trip Dan Bailey.
Trip Dan Bailey.
You can.
I don't think I'd trip Dan Bailey. He looks like a Ninja Turtle. Like, you think he'd come over at me and just, like, rip my head off.
You might know? Be in trouble.
Yeah, you'd
you
be in trouble.
You might be in trouble.
So people can come and still be a part of this. And if not, then they're going to set their sights on next year.
On next year.
And really making sure they make this their priority as far as vacation goes.
It should be a priority. Yeah. I mean, vacationing in Kauai itself is a dream, but also coming out here to support a cause and change some lives along the way. Why wouldn't you do some good with your vacation?
And it'll change. It's not like, you know, when you go to vacation, you're doing all the touristy stuff and blah, blah, blah. You come here and you're entrenched in the local community. Like, yep. This is a high. If you want to come here and experience real Hawaii, this is it. If you want to come here and experience the touristy stuff, then just don't come during the run. Just come at a different time.
Right.
This is real.
I love it. All right, guys. Well, you heard it here from Aaron Hoff, the founder, creator, and driving force behind the trail run. Rory is sidekick, just totally picking up all the slack and doing everything else behind the scenes. A lot of my Aaron's like just laughing because he knows how much he's putting her through.
I don't know, but he did it in the last 2 years, basically.
Last year, he ran the entire event on 2 sheets of paper he kept in his pocket.
2 years in a row.
We've learned 2 major key things in the last year. One, how
you
to copy and paste on your phone.
Oh, that's a good thing to know.
And number two, what a Google Doc is.
Okay.
It's great. We're making great. Moves.
We're making
We're
moves.
Making moves.
I love it. All right, guys. Well, if you want to follow the trail run, I think they have an Instagram.
Yeah, it's Ultimate Hawaiian Trail Run. You can find us on Facebook as well. And if you want any more information about the run, how this year goes, how to register, or if you're looking for more information about coming next year, it's ultimatehawaiiantrailrun.com.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.